This is Professor Allen, and welcome to the Quarterbit. In every normal episode of this podcast, I summarize, criticize, discuss, and review a single issue for my comic book collection, which I sort of selected at random. Any book from my comic book collection is eligible, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for it. Was the issue worth 25 cents? Was it a bargain at 25 cents? Or was it still overpriced? Stay tuned and find out. For this 118th episode of the Quarter Bin, I'm looking at the books I got at Free Comic Book Day 2018, because as my listeners are keenly aware, free counts as less than 25 cents. I don't think even Shag or Stella could argue with that. As a matter of fact, I've made the proclamation that the first Saturday in May is the official national holiday of the Quarter Bin Podcast. But before we get to that, we have a little feedback. Last episode, we talked about taxes and the IRS. And I guess Wally West, too. It was Flash 52 or some such thing. And Sir Martin of Grey had this to say about that. The Bill Loeb's Flash and Wonder Woman runs are criminally underrated, as issues like this demonstrate. They're quirky as heck, but fit perfectly in the DCU. Wally as Taxman is something I never expected to see, and while I'm glad it was a brief moment, it's also a unique and entertaining one. And thank you for the value-added commentary on the workings of the tax system. Never has the phrase, "but back to the comic book," sounded so sweet. Admit it, this was a backdoor pilot for Professor Allen's Taxing Times. Oh, you wish, Sir Martin. You all wish! Martin then asked me what I thought about the art. He says he's always surprised by how popular a pencil Greg LaRoc is and would love my opinion. Apologies if you did indeed discuss it. Maybe it came right after one of those tax digressions, which is Sir Martin's way of thinking that... which is Sir Martin's way of saying that maybe he hadn't quite woken up again before that part of the episode. Well, now you know what my students have to deal with on a regular basis. But to answer the question, I would say that there was nothing particularly noteworthy one way or the other about the art. Later on Facebook, Sir Martin was also the first to make the IRS West joke. Podcasting's Michael Bailey said that he enjoyed the Flash episode and that it caused him running to his family's medical receipts to see if they would qualify for itemized deduction. See, it was educational. Matt Moore referred to the episode as thoroughly entertaining, if not edifying. I had to think about that one. And Nathaniel Wayne from the Council of Geeks wrote in, because he always has thoughts when the real world impinges on his comic book reading. I never really know what to think when things like the IRS show up in superhero stories. It can work as an occasional lark or tossed off joke, but as a major plot driver, I don't need this much real-world intrusion on my superheroics. And I don't buy the it-makes-it-more-real argument, because this story is just as ridiculous as most superhero yarns. You can ground a story without these kind of additions. I'm a little more forgiving, Nathaniel continues, of this over at Marvel, since that is more or less intended to be our world. DC, on the other hand, it sticks out more and annoys me more, as it's a world that already reflects less of the real one, relatively speaking, and in general. That works in the favor of these stories, and it's why I hate nitpicks about, that's not how that works, because I can just retort, this is not our world. Nathaniel and I have had similar discussions about this before, by the way. I think that may have been over on a comics reading journal. But he continues here, when the story brings in these real-world elements, well, they're just a drag. And now the story itself is inviting those nitpickers because it brought it up. I dislike pop culture references in DC stories, movies, etc. for much the same reason. The recent film Bright was the worst possible example of messing this kind of thing up. How can you drop a Shrek reference in a film that's supposed to take place in a world that has always had fantasy creatures living in it? How would a film like Shrek even be made? Anyway, I've tangented now, and I'll come back. And Nathaniel says, I gave him a panic attack when I used the word quiz because it snapped me awake again. See, another student who fell asleep during that amazing episode. And it gave me flashbacks of college lectures. And it gave me flashbacks of college lectures in the bad way. But thankfully, the word was only used to say it wasn't going to be the case here. Whew, that's a relief. Geekily yours, Nathaniel Wayne. No quizzes, buddy. No quizzes. That last episode was shared, retweeted, and reposted by many wonderful people, including Gene Hendricks of The Hammer Strikes, Mike, the Peacock of Justice's First Dawn, Chris Tyler from the True Freaks Network, J. David Weider of Dave's Daredevil podcast, Robert Ludwig, Chris Willette, Anthony Watson, Keith G. Baker, Mike Lane from Comics in the Golden Age, Paul Matthew Carr of The Nexus of All Realities, Sean Ross from The Secret Wars and Beyond podcast, Bill Baer, DC in the 80s, Mark Sweeney of I'm the Gun, or ITG, or the ITG blog and podcast, Sir I Was Joe Pat from The Long Box Crusade, Luke Giaconetti of Earth Destruction Directive, Wonder Woman, Warrior for Peace, Patrick Delmore of Next Gen's First Gen, Chris from Bat Books for Beginners, and Clinton from Coffee and Comics. Thanks for all of that support, and I thank all of you for listening. Totally, totally appreciate it. Which means it's time to move on to the main event. So this opening part of the episode is being recorded a few days before Free Comic Book Day. And I'm going to talk here about my plans for the day, what books I'm interested in, hope I get, on all that. On prior FCBD episodes, which were episodes 51, 73, and 98, I talked about my comic book shopping habits and also revealed the shocking truth that 2015 was my first Free Comic Book Day ever. Now, to be fair, M partook of the event a couple of times. Before that, during college years, and up to now, every year since the job at the library came along, M has been scheduled to work on the holiday, but not this year. So the two of us are going to head out together, maybe with the roommate, to jointly represent for Relatively Geeky and the Middleton family. Now, looking through the promotional material, there are 9 books that I'm interested in at FCBD this year, to varying degrees. There are 2 definite top books for me. These are the must-haves. 1, Doctor Who, and 2, DC Superhero Girls. Both of these have become mainstays for me at this event. They're always top-notch books, and I anticipate the same for this year. The next level down has 3 books that I hope I can get: Lady Mechanica, Barrier, and Star Wars Adventure. Now, Lady Mechanica would normally fit into the first level, that is how much I love the character, but the publisher is teeny tiny, basically a creator-owned imprint. And sometimes the Free Comic Book Day book doesn't have anything new in it. So it's possible that there will be nothing new in this one this year, so there's some level of uncertainty that I'll pick it up. Now, the main store that we go to for Free Comic Book Day, the LCS, where we have our pull box, World's Greatest Comics, usually has a limit of 4 free books per customer, and also some excellent sales, by the way. But I've already listed 5 books that I'd like to pick up for free. And like I said, there are 4 more that interest me. So what's a guy who likes free comic books to do Well, now remember, M is coming, and maybe the roommate, and I hope that they may pick up one or two that I'm interested in. We can do a little trading around, but I don't know if that'll happen. So we do have a backup store. That secondary store, More Comics, is actually just a half mile or so down the street from World's Greatest. Last year, they allowed 2 free books, and if that's the case again this year, the others at the bottom of my list that I'm still interested in are James Bond, Die Kitty Die, The Tick, and 2000 AD. Now, last year, I had a third store on the way back from those two, one that is between those two and my house. But this year, I'm staying up in that same part of town, Northeast Columbus, where the two stores are. Em and I are planning to meet mid-afternoon. Then we hit the two stores. And then I'm going to stay up in that area for Saturday evening church. So it's probably going to be just those two stores. So it's possible that I'm going to end up a few issues short of what I'm hoping to nab. Again, if Em's roommate joins us, that's a few more comics that we can nab. So we'll see. We'll see. The problem is, I do know that their want lists include a few that I'm not interested in. Power Rangers and My Hero Academia, things like that. So it's all still a little up in the air. But I think it's fair to say I've talked enough about my plans for Free Comic Book Day 2018. So let's take a break, play a promo, and when we come back in a couple or 3 minutes for you, or in about 4 or 5 or 6 days for me, I'll talk about whatever books I am actually able to nab at this year's Free Comic Book Day.
Hey folks, this is Jared Albrick, aka the Yard Sale Artist, and semi-regular co-host of the Longbox Crusade podcast with Pat Sampson. Pat came to me recently with a fantastic idea on how we might get the podcast community involved in taking some action to do some good. He called this idea Comics for Courage. Comics for Courage is a concept that came to Pat after I told him the fantastic true story of when I was stationed in Iraq during my military service. While there, I received a huge care package of comic books from the awesome folks over at Wizard and Toy Fair magazines. We had so many comics, we didn't know what to do with them all. Seriously, it was over 100 pounds of comics. So me and a couple of buddies took the bounty of comics we had down to the give and take library we'd set up in our headquarters building. And you know what? Within 24 hours, all the comics were gone. The bottom line here is that throughout history, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, one thing remains a constant: soldiers love comics. It's quick, easy, fun reading that gives a soldier a taste of home and lets them escape into an amazing world of comics, even if it's just for a few minutes. So here's the best part of Comics for Courage. Pat and I aren't asking you to donate 1 cent of your money to Comics for Courage. What we would love is for you to donate your excess comics. You know, those ones that are just kind of laying around. Just drop them into a box or a big envelope and mail them over to supportourtroops.org. Their mailing address is Support Our Troops, 13617 North Florida Avenue, Tampa, Florida, 33613. Now, they will make sure those comics get distributed to random soldier care packages, and as a person who's been on the receiving end of this, I can tell you it will mean a lot. And if you'd rather donate money than give up a single comic book, trust me, we understand about that, you can donate through their website as well. Again, that's supportourtroops.org. Just remember 2 things, all right? 2 things. 1, make sure the comics have good, clean content. No nudity or adults-only comics, please. Those are the rules for any military member receiving goods downrange. Okay, and 2, this is the fun one. Please take a picture of you with your donation stack and post it on Twitter or Facebook at Longbox Crusade, or email it to contact@longboxcrusade.com. We'd love to give you an on-air shout-out and post your pic on the longboxcrusade.com website. In summary, Pat and I over at Longbox Crusade Podcast would greatly appreciate you taking this small action to make a difference in the life of someone who is far from home defending our freedoms. Thank you for supporting the Comics for Courage initiative. That website again is supportourtroops.org. Please check it out. Throw them some comics. Make some soldiers happy. We appreciate it. Thanks again.
And we're back. So it ended up being just me and M. The roommate couldn't make it. But between us, we ended up getting 13 books at Free Comic Book Day. Four each, that is for each of us, came from World's Greatest Comics, at which me and M also bought some new books, as they go buy two, get one free on Free Comic Book Day. So we continued Mira, Queen of Atlantis, and got a start on Doomsday Clock, among a few others. So stay tuned for the Comics Reading Journal, and I'll eventually talk about them there. But like I said, we got a decent selection there, and I even did decide to pick up Lady Mechanica, because it did note on the cover that it contained a new story. After that, we also hit the nearby store More Comics, and their limit was one, which was down from two for last year, but they also gave you one more with everything that you bought, and that's an interesting approach. And you could also take one from their stack of prior years' Free Comic Book Day books. And from that box, I nabbed a couple things as well. So that was an interesting approach, like I said. And if you've seen the picture of M in her Nightwing jacket hanging out with Daredevil, that was at this store. Lots of people commented on that picture, including, of course, Ed Moore, who thought that that was a great name, Moore Comics, for a store. J. David Weider said, "Hey, I know that guy. Tell him Dave says hi." Now, between us, these two stores got us 10, but as much as I like M, and as similar as our tastes may be, she did nab a few that I didn't dig, and so I didn't get all the ones that I wanted. But we ended up meeting a bit earlier than we had anticipated, closer to noon than 2 p.m., and so by the time we were done and Em had headed back off to their apartment, I had a few extra hours to kill before church, more than I expected. And the Maps app on my phone let me know that another comic store, Comic Town, was not that far away. Now, I'd recognize the name of the store, the logo of the store, but not this specific location, and it turns out that they'd moved a couple years ago into a very large location. And as soon as I saw that, the business expert, the finance professor in me thought, that is way too big a space. Even for Free Comic Book Day, where they had some artists and some other stuff, you know, taking up some space, there was a lot of empty space in that store. I'm guessing that they do gaming, magic, and that sort of thing on other days. Otherwise, there's a lot of empty, paid-for space in that building. But their business model is their problem, not mine. And at Comic Town, they had a pretty good Free Comic Book Day deal. You could pick up three of the free books, but I also dropped a cool $6 there at the All Dollar Books Are 3 for a Dollar Today area. 18 books, many of them coverless DC Bronze Age books. And that combination, coverless, DC, and Bronze Age, is one of my favorite comic book recipes. So again, listen to some upcoming Comics Reading Journals to hear about the books that I purchased there at Free Comic Book Day. So anyway, between all of that, and again, M taking some books that I didn't want, I ended up reading 9 Free Comic Book Day books in the few days since the event. And what I'm going to do here is just briefly review each one of those books in alphabetical order. Although technically, we start with numerical order. 2000 AD. I hadn't read any 2000 AD until just a few months ago, as reported on a recent, I know you're getting sick of hearing me say this, Comics Reading Journal. But I enjoyed it. So when I saw that this book was available today, I put it on my list. Now, they did an oddball thing with this, and that is make it an all-ages comic, which the magazine is not. So instead of starting with a Judge Dredd story, which the main magazine does, this version opens up with Cadet Dredd. And this one, a young Dredd, is assigned crowd control duty at the 2073 World Aeroball Championship match and ends up arresting the entire stadium full of fans. Which, if you've ever been to a live sporting event, you can understand that they probably all deserved it. We get a light Strontium Dog story, some puzzles and game pages, and a couple other fun light legitimate all-ages stories. It was a delight all the way around, but my favorite parts were the very small print factoids that ran in the gutters on most of the pages, which served the function of, like, editor's notes. They explained points about the characters or the story or the backstory. And that was one of the more creative ways I've seen to do, you know, bits of exposition without being obviously exposition. And Barrier. This one seemed like one of the higher profile books for the day because it was the start of a brand new series by Brian K. Vaughan and Marcos Martin. There was a lot of buzz around this, as there were a lot of unique aspects to this book. Not only was it the first issue of a new story, the rest of the story would be released weekly over the rest of May. So it had the first part is free, now come back the next 4 weeks to finish up the story. And I like that, in that we are so fixated on monthly release schedules that this seems more like an old school, you know, novel being syndicated in weekly magazines. And if Free Comic Book Day is about bringing new people to the store, having them come in 4 consecutive weeks to pick up the next installment makes a lot more sense to me than having them come in 4 consecutive months to do so. You keep up the momentum that way, maybe. It's an interesting experience, for sure. Also, from what I understand, the pitch is also that in these floppies, in these 5 issues, that's the only way that this story will ever be printed. I guess theoretically it could be digitized at some point, but the claim is that there's not going to be a collected trade. So if you want the story, this is the way to get it, to come to the store on these 5 consecutive weeks to pick it up. But the release schedule, and that point about how it's going to be printed or not printed, those are not the only experimental things about Barrier. The entire story is landscape style instead of portrait. And it's surprising how much difference 90 degrees can make in what you can accomplish in terms of visual storytelling. There is an actual cinematic nature that you can get with this, in that the shape of the page, when your book is turned that direction, does at least approximate the dimensions of a movie screen. Of course, Vaughn and Martin are top-line comic book professionals, so they really know what to do with the form. I don't know that there is anything magical about this being in landscape, except to say that it does work well, especially with this story, which takes place in the wide open spaces near the U.S.-Mexican border. So there is a lot of real estate for displaying all of the real estate in the story. I'm not saying I want to see this format used for every story, but maybe this gives comic creators another tool to use. To use sparingly, yes, I think, but to use when appropriate. And this is the kind of experiment I like to see at Free Comic Book Day. It's a no-pressure way to try something different. And DC Superhero Girls by Shea Fontana, with art by Yancy Labatt. This has become a Free Comic Book Day tradition for me, a staple. And it's a property that I really like, even though I recognize that I'm not quite the target demographic. But it is a huge success for DC/Warners. And what they do with the property for Free Comic Book Day is give us usually a 12-ish page preview from the most recent or maybe next upcoming graphic novel in the series. In this case, Date with Disaster, which I think in this case is already out and ready for your purchase. They have developed a core 7 heroines that the stories tend to revolve around: Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Ivy, Harley, Katana, Bumblebee, and Supergirl. And the stories involve various shenanigans at their superhero training school, as well as their own life. In this little preview, the main drama is whether Commissioner Gordon should start dating again, a situation which in fact does occur and which Barbara Gordon is not a fan of. I mentioned with Barrier the difference of the format of the book. There's nothing quite as extreme here with Superheroes Girls, but it is different from quote-unquote normal comic book size. It's about 90% of the size of a regular comic, which makes it much closer to the size of a young adult novel, which is one of the many formats in which this property thrives. So again, an interesting choice there. As well as another story from this property that I enjoyed quite a bit and expect to read the full version of at some point this summer. And Die Kitty Die. I was introduced to this property last year as it was the backup story in last year's Captain Canuck Free Comic Book Day book. And last year's 8-pager was one of my favorite bits of stuff from all of the FCBD selections. So I was glad to see that the property got its own book this year, made up of a number of small stories. The concept is great. Kitty is a woman whose life story was turned into a successful comic book property in the past when she was a girl. Think like Millie the Model, except with Millie being a real person. Or maybe the way that Patsy Walker is portrayed on the Jessica Jones TV show as an adult who had this TV show when they were a kid. It's similar to that, except with Kitty, it was a comic book as well. Now, her comic book sales have been flagging, and the publishers decide to kill off Kitty. That's what comic book publishers do. The problem is they can't just do it in the books, because the books are supposed to be reflective of her real life. So they have to kill her in real life, which is a darkly funny premise, made all the more funny by Dan Parent and Fernando Ruiz's storytelling and art styles. You may not recognize those names, but they are longtime Archie artists. And thus, you kind of know the style of this book, and it is a weird juxtaposition, shall we say. And in case I didn't mention the dark part, the publisher's efforts to kill Kitty seem to have been successful, and she does seem to be dead. Like, she's dead in the sense of working her way through various afterlifes. It is a weird issue, a quirky issue, an entertaining issue, and Parent and Ruiz are not shy about including very pointed references about the publishing business in general and the comic book business in particular. And Doctor Who from Titan Comics. Titan got the license a number of years back and has done really good stuff with it. And the Free Comic Book Day offerings have been no exception. This one features 10, 11, and 12 on the cover, and the promise that 2018's epic journey starts here. We don't actually have a story inside featuring the Capaldi Doctor, but instead have stories of the 7th, 10th, and 11th. Now this year, they went away from the tell a complete story or tell complete stories approach that they've had in the past, which, to be honest, has made Doctor Who one of my favorite Free Comic Book Days of past years. But this year, they went instead with a much more common approach of previewing three upcoming stories, just printing the first 6 or 7 pages or so of some upcoming stories. And they're not bad. It's, again, what almost every other publisher does. But I was kind of disappointed that they went that way this year. It really actually was, I think, a step down from their prior year's offerings. That being said, the story by George Mann and Mariano La Claustra, starring Sly McCoy and Ace, is very intriguing. I don't know if that upcoming series is the first for the 7th Doc or if it's the start of a new season, but either way, I really like the art. The likenesses are very on point. And this is the one that I'm most interested in following up on. And the others were fine for what they were, but this one stood out for me. And there was also a last page, a one-pager, with Jodie Whittaker, our next Doctor, drawn by Rachel Scott, and that was a winner, too. So to summarize the Doctor Who book, it was another good Free Comic Book Day offering, but just not quite as good as they've done in the past. Well, all right, that's 5 Free Comic Book Day books down and 4 more to go. So let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, it's 007, Star Wars, and more.
Are you Batman? Oh, you must be, because that's Robin. Hi, Robin.
Yes, Batman and Robin are here. And Tim and Paul are also here to evaluate the Batman TV show that took the nation by storm in 1966.
How in the name of purple wombats do they manage it?
To the Batpoles podcast looks at the writing, the music, the guest stars, how the show fit into its times, and much more. Look for it wherever you get podcasts or at tothebatpoles.libsyn.com. What better way to enjoy the show's 50th anniversary than with To the Batpoles podcast?
Gosh, yes, Batman. When you put it that way...
And we're back. With the last four books I got on Free Comic Book Day 2018. James Bond. I have to confess this one thing first. I'm not a huge fan of Bond. I haven't seen many of the movies, read any of the original Fleming novels, and have only read a few of the comic books, possibly only the ones from Mike Grell. But despite that, the comic book take on the property intrigued me, so I wanted to check this out. It wasn't high on my list, but it was on my list. This is, in fact, a reprint of the first issue of the Varger storyline from late 2015 from Dynamite. The story is written by Warren Ellis, with art by Jason Masters. Now, I know what I've said this episode about not really liking the issues that are just previews for upcoming stories, but I gotta admit, I did kinda like this. There are two differences here. One, that it's a full issue reprint, not just six or seven pages. I know that seems like a pretty shaky difference, but I think that matters. But the bigger reason why I like this was that just a few days after Free Comic Book Day, I listened to episode 8 of the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast. That episode featured an interview between hosts Jared Albrecht and Alan J. Porter with artist Jason Masters. Yes, that is the very same Jared Albrecht whom you heard earlier in the Comics for Courage promo. Anyway, what they talked about on that podcast episode was about Masters' time working with Ellis on this James Bond title. I enjoyed that interview, and I enjoyed this first issue that I read so much, in fact, that I downloaded the whole trade from the Hoopla digital app. And if you listen to an upcoming episode of Say It Along With Me, Everybody, the Comics Reading Journal, you'll hear my thoughts on the whole storyline. And Lady Mechanica, written and drawn by the character's creator, Joe Benitez. Like DC Superhero Girls and Doctor Who, this is an annual FCBD tradition. And as I said earlier, these come from Benitez Productions, which produces pretty much just this book. So I imagine this is like a one-man shop. But what makes Free Comic Book Day such a cool thing is that on this one day, and pretty much only this one day every year, Benitez Productions is on equal footing with every other comic publisher. They are right there on the tables, right there next to Marvel and DC and Image and Boom and Archie and Dynamite and everybody else. And I love that. This issue featured two stories. The first is a reprint of the first 10 pages of the very first Lady Mechanica story from 2010, and I know what you're going to say, but Professor Allen, I thought you didn't like previews in your Free Comic Book Day books. You know, I'm making an exception for Lady Mechanica. This book lives by trades, and I have no problem with Benitez plugging that volume one, okay? Especially since there's also a new story here as well. A complete story, although it does lead into the next trade, but that's different. This is a new story. It's called Two. It's a 16-page mystery that reveals a little bit about Lady M's origin story as a mechanical arm identical to hers is found. And the issue ends with a promise that Mechanica will track down her creator. I may not know what depravity compelled you to do this to me, but I know you're out there now. And I know somehow I will find you. Epic stuff. Really good issue, as I'd expect. I do quite enjoy my annual visits to Mechanica City. There is a 3-issue miniseries of hers coming up shortly, and I may pick that up as well. And if so, well, you know what show I'll talk about it on. And Star Wars Adventures. I picked this one up because it featured young Han and Chewie on the cover, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming Solo movie. I'm not sure why this is an IDW book, maybe because it's Star Wars Adventures, that title exists under some pre-existing license that hasn't expired yet since the Marvel purchase, but that's just a hypothesis. And I'll be honest, this is the kind of Free Comic Book Day issue that I like the least. It's a 12-page part of a story that continues into Star Wars Adventures number 10, on sale this month. And the story itself isn't all that bad. Han and Chewie and the Falcon on the run from guys who may or may not have good reasons to have them on the run. But, A, it's just a preview, and B, the rest of the book has 2 pages of sketches and then 14, count them, 14 pages of house ads. No thank you. And last but not least, The Tick from New England Comics Press. This is the 8th Free Comic Book Day from The Tick, although I didn't start picking them up until last year. I've seen some of the cartoons and really dug the old live-action show, but I hadn't read any of the comics until last year's Free Comic Book Day, and I enjoyed it, so I put this one on the list. Now, since I haven't read any official Tick comic book stories, save what I read last year at Free Comic Book Day, there would have been no issue for me if this had been reprints. But this one had 2 important words on the cover. New stories. I appreciate that. Even if it doesn't really matter to my personal reading, because I haven't read any of the old stories. But still, new stories, and I appreciated that. These were all good. We start with a fun 12-page sort of Conan-style story. Then we get a mini, like a 3-pager about pizza delivery. That was pretty funny, too. And then we get another good story about the stretchy hero, Rubber Duck, marrying the bee and his odd choice of the Tick as best man. Consistently funny, consistently good. I really enjoyed this one, too. And that's all 9 books, and they were mostly all pretty good, albeit to varying degrees. 2 stood out above the rest in terms of my favorites, and those were James Bond and Lady Mechanica. Those were the A-plus or A-books. But a bunch of the others, The Tick, Barrier, 2000 AD, DC Superhero Girls, they were all darn good too. Die Kitty Die and Doctor Who weren't so bad. Even Star Wars Adventures wasn't bad. I mean, the story was good, it's just that less than half of the book was story and the rest was ads, but... Well, those are my thoughts on Free Comic Book Day 2018, but I didn't want this episode to be just me. I also wanted to give shout-outs to some others who I saw had their own experiences at Free Comic Book Day 2018. Ben Avery did an episode of Comic Book Time Machine on Free Comic Book Day that he recorded at Free Comic Book Day, and he even released that episode on Free Comic Book Day. That, my friend, is efficient. Clinton Robinson and his kids hit the stores, and he tried to direct them just to the quarter bins for purchases as well, but they did manage to find the dollar boxes too, because kids. As he said, they aren't the biggest comics fans, but they read what they like, and I'm cool with that. Sounds like good parenting, Clinton. Clinton also did release a Coffee and Comics minisode a week or so after Free Comic Book Day, so maybe you should check that out as well. I also talked with Jason Marcinette about the day, and he informed me that his podcast, Heroes and Hops, is on long-term, maybe permanent, hiatus. But he has joined the crew of a YouTube show that's just getting started called Comic Sans. So if you are a YouTube viewer, check out his show. Christopher J. Warden and his kids spent the day hitting the shops, as did Sir Iowa's Joe, David Ace Gutierrez, Michael Staley, and Aaron Head Moss. And I'm sure there are many others too. And to everyone who attended, I hope you enjoyed, because I sure did. Now, I also wanted to get the view of 2018 Free Comic Book Day from someone on the other side of the counter. So I reached out to our buddy, the generous Canadian, Sir Rob Lance, who works at the Comic Connection in Oakville, Ontario, Canada. Rob was a part of the epic episode 100 from last summer, and he was the best part of our Relatively Geeky Presents episode from November 2017, when we talked about the future of the retail side of the comic book business. Anyway, I asked Rob how his FCBD was, and the day after the holiday, he answered me. Yesterday was a very good day sales-wise, although I haven't looked at the grand total yet. I left around 5 p.m. and left the easy part of the day to the boss and his minions. But how did I spend most of my day? Kids, kids, and more kids. I think I invested the majority of my day interacting with children between the ages of 8 to 13 and loosening up their apprehension and convincing them to look beyond their choices of Star Wars, Disney, and SpongeBob and go for the hidden treasures of stories not yet known. I assured them, with the promise that if they return, we can discuss all the new worlds they discover, and we can find them even more great paths to take. I feel this year really brought the families and new readers in, which really had me on a high. I think over the past few years, I've been able to weed out the profiteers and the speculators. They know they aren't welcome in our store. As for the books themselves, it was a very good lineup this year with a really strong small press in all ages representation. But for now, there's much sleep in my future. Thanks for those insights, Rob, and I hope you've recovered, buddy. Every comic store needs someone like Rob working there, am I right? The LCS that we go to, World's Greatest Comics, has one, Keith, and guys like that with that unique combination of being informative, talkative, yet socially aware, and not creepy, is unfortunately not the standard that it should be in comic book stores. And if your store has one of those guys, a Rob, a Keith, be grateful. And I think that's everything. The verdict on Free Comic Book Day 2018. Well, let's see. It was comics, and they were free. I got all my top choices, and very few disappointed. It was a great, great day. I also picked up some great cheap books to go along with the free ones. What could be better than that? And that wraps up my coverage of Free Comic Book Day 2018, bringing episode 118 of the Quarterman Podcast to a close. Like I said, I saw lots of tweets and Facebook posts from listeners about Free Comic Book Day events that they attended on May 5th, and I'd love to hear some feedback about what you picked up, what you liked and didn't like, etc. Next time, in episode 119, we'll be continuing our number 9 series of episodes with a look at Marvel Superheroes Magazine number 2 from Marvel Comics, of course, cover dated November 1994. If you have any questions or comments about this issue of the podcast, or like I said, your experiences at Free Comic Book Day, feel free to contact me. Until next episode, I'm Professor Allen, and I'll see you in the Quarterbin. Music for this episode, as has been the case with all of our Free Comic Book Day episodes, was by the band Comrades, whose recordings you can find by going to the website for their label, Blood and Ink Records, bloodandinkrecords.com. The Quarterbin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky family of podcasts. Show notes and links are available at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com, where the podcasts Uncovering the Bronze Age and Short Box Showcase also make their home. Links to Facebook and Twitter are there as well. Feedback for the show is welcome at relativelygeeky@gmail.com. And if you like what we've got going here, please leave a review and a rating in iTunes. It'll help more people discover the show. Thanks again for listening. Professor Allen!